Your name we bless. Your name we give you honor, give you glory. You have all power, you are holy. We bow before your throne today. Jesus, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Have all power, you are holy. We bow before your throne today.
Jesus, we bless
your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Glory, you have all power, you are holy. We bow before your throne today. Jesus, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Honor, give you glory. You have all power, you are holy. We bow before your throne
today.
Oh Jesus, we bless your name. We bless your name. Your name, we give you honor, give you glory. You have all power, you are holy. We bow before your throne today. Jesus, we bless your name. We bless your name. Your name, we give you honor, give you glory. You have all power, you are holy. We bow
before
your throne
today.
Oh Jesus, we bless your name. We bless your name. Have all power, you are holy. We bow
before
your throne
today.
Jesus, we bless your name. And we bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor. You have all power, you are holy. We bow
before
your throne today. Oh Jesus, we bless your name. Oh, can somebody bless his name tonight? Oh, we've come to worship him. Oh, is there any praise in the house? Oh, is there any praise in the house? Hallelujah. There's power in your praise tonight. Oh, there's power, power in our praise. And there's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power. power in our praise. Oh, there's power, power in our praise.
There's power when we lift up
Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power, power in our praise. There's power, power in our praise. There's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power, power in our praise. There's power,
power
in our praise. And there's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power, power. Oh, is there any praise tonight? There's power. Oh, it's in your praise. It's in your worship tonight. There's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power, power in our praise. Oh, there's power, power in our praise. There's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power and power in our praise. Oh, yes, there's power, power in our praise. There's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he is due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power and power in your praise. There's power in your praise.
There's power.
Oh, do you have any praise?
Oh,
is there a praise in your heart tonight? There's power when you lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. Oh, he's got the power to deliver you. There's power and power in your praise. Yes, there's power, power in your praise. And there's power when you lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise he's due. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power, power in our praise. Yes, there's power, power in our praise. And there's power when we lift up Jesus' name. Just give him all the praise. He's got the power to deliver you. There's power, power in our praise. Oh, have you really come to worship tonight? Oh, I said, have you really come to worship tonight? I've not come just to be a spectator, but I've come to worship my Savior. Hey, we can clap our hands, we can go through the motions, or we can make up our minds right now, right here, right now, that I am going to worship. I'm not waiting on anybody else. I'm not waiting on my neighbor. But I'm going to give God praise. Oh, have you really come to worship tonight? Can you close your eyes? Can you give him your praise? How worthy is he to you tonight? Oh, do you want to see his glory tonight? It's going to come when the people of God begin to worship.
It's more than just an amen. It's more than just a hand clap. But it's a worship. It's a shout. It's a praise. You're not waiting on the song, but God's waiting on you. Come on, we need a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody needs a touch from God tonight. Amen. We need to create the atmosphere through our worship and through our praise. Hallelujah. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Will I worship the Lord with my hands? Will I worship the Lord with my feet? I worship the Lord. Oh, I have made my choice. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise
His holy name.
I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Will I worship the Lord with my hands? And I worship the Lord with my feet. Will I worship the Lord with my voice? Will I have made my choice? I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise
His holy name.
I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise
His holy name.
Yes, I worship the Lord with my hands. And I worship the Lord with my feet. I worship the Lord with my voice. Oh, I have made my choice. We've come to worship. We've come to worship. We've come to praise His holy name. We've come to worship. We've come to worship. We've come to praise His holy name. Oh, I worship the Lord. Oh, have you come to worship?
I worship the Lord with my feet.
Well, I worship the Lord with my voice. Oh, I have made my choice. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise
His holy name.
Well, I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Will I worship the Lord? Will I worship the Lord with my feet? Yes, I worship the Lord with my voice.
I have made my choice.
I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise
His holy name.
I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Yes, I worship the Lord with my hands. And I worship the Lord
with my feet.
Well, I worship the Lord with my voice. Yes, I have made my choice. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Will I worship the Lord with my hands? Yes, I worship the Lord with my feet. I worship the Lord with my voice. Oh, I have made my choice. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Will I worship the Lord with my hands? I worship the Lord. Oh, I worship the Lord with my voice. Yes, I have made my choice. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I've come to praise His holy name. Oh, I worship the Lord with my hands.
I worship the Lord with my feet.
I worship the Lord with my voice. Oh, I have made my choice. I've come to worship. Oh, let the church rejoice. Oh, let the church worship. Oh, let the church praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I wonder for about 10 seconds if the church can worship with no music. Amen. Out of your heart, from the depths of your soul, I have a praise. I have a love for my Savior. Oh, come on, you don't have to save your worship for Sunday night, but on a Wednesday night, amen, if you can get out of your comfort zone, if you can get out of your box, and you can give God praise, you can see the glory, you can see your miracle. Oh, I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to give Him praise, because He's worthy. Oh, He's worthy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, give the Lord a shout. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like running the aisle. I feel like running the aisle. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like running the aisles. I feel like running the aisles. I feel like running the aisles. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me.
I feel like running the aisles.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me.
I feel like praising Him.
I feel like shouting for joy.
I feel like shouting.
Oh, is there a shout? God's been so good.
So good to me.
I feel like shouting for joy. I feel like shouting for joy. I feel like shouting for joy. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like
shouting for joy.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. Oh, is there a praise? Is there a worship? God, you've been good to us. God, you've been good to me. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, can you shout that from the bottom of your heart? I love you, Jesus. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, is anybody thankful tonight? Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. Pastor's been preaching about the glory. Does anybody want to see the glory? Hallelujah. Amen. I want the glory. Amen. To fill this tabernacle. Amen. And the only way that's going to happen is in our pursuit, in our desire, in our worship. Amen. I want the glory. I want the anointing. I want the power. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Amen. It's good to see everybody here in the house of the Lord once again. Amen. Wednesday night revival service. I know this is Bible study night, but I look at every service as revival time. Amen. It's not just Wednesday night Bible study. It's not slow motion. Put it in the slow gear, but it's revival time. Amen. It's not just Sunday morning worship, but it's revival time. It's not just Monday night prayer, but it's revival time. Somebody shout revival.
Revival.
Revival in choir practice.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the mentality that we should have. Everything that we do, it's revival time. Hey, we can see the Holy Ghost fall in one of our practices. If we truly want the glory, because even in the midst of practice, we can see the glory fall because we're worshiping. Amen. That's what we're doing. We're worshiping. We're praising, and He inhabits the praises of His people. So choir practice tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And for those musicians, if it is an earlier time, we will be in contact with you. So just be ready
they will be letting me know their ETA and their estimated time of arrival. And I will let you know when you, the musicians, need to be here. But choir, please be here before 7, because we will start at 7. So come ready to practice and to sing and lift up the name of Jesus. And then the time for Friday and Saturday, we will give that on Thursday night. Also, Sunday revival service. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Everybody say invite. 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 I know we're going to probably talk about this, but this Saturday is the Cotton Festival, and that is a place we will see a lot of people we know. And let's not be intimidated, let's not be shy, but let's extend an invitation. Amen? Let's invite, let's fill the house. We'll have cards, flyers, and let's do our part. And I believe if we will do our part, I believe Sunday we can see the house full. Amen. I hope you have the faith to believe it. If you don't have the faith, you won't put forth the effort and you won't see it happen. But if you have faith, if you believe, if you will work, God will do it. Amen. So let's be in much prayer for everything that's going on. Our services, our anniversary services are quickly coming. Let's be in prayer. Amen. It's revival time. Somebody shout revival. Somebody shout invite. Amen. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer here tonight on behalf of our offering and our tithe. We want to pray that God would bless you, the giver. We want to pray that God would talk to us through His Word. We do want to pray for the Thomas family for a special need. We want to pray for Sister Lydia, is sick in body. We want to pray for Anthony Garcia for salvation and healing. Sister Linda Marin is not feeling well. We want to pray for her tonight. Also for Sister Mary Salgado, is sick in body. We want to pray for James Cosme here tonight. He did have several strokes, and he did fall, and he hit his head, and there was some internal bleeding, and they did rush him down to L.A., and we want to pray on his behalf here tonight that God would intervene. Amen. I know He's able. Amen. I know the God that I serve. Amen. I have faith to believe that when I lift up a petition before Him, He hears my prayer. Do you have a need tonight? And do you have faith to believe that God is more than able? If you do, why don't you lift your voice right now in faith? Jesus, we come right now in faith. Lord, believing that you have heard these needs. You know our needs, our petitions. God, and we come before you in great faith, knowing in whom we ask, knowing that you have all power and authority. God, there is nothing too hard for you. I pray tonight, Lord, for every unspoken request, every issue, every need, Lord, every problem that's represented here in the house. God, you are able to do a work. You are able to make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, I pray for these that are sick in body. By your stripes, Lord, we are healed. I pray let healing virtue begin to flow. I pray, God, for the giver tonight. I pray for this offering. God, bless the giver. Bless this offering. God, in the tithe, in Jesus' name we pray. God, and talk to our hearts through your word. God, we're hungry for your word. Speak to us and let your glory fill this house. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And let's give and worship here tonight.
He keeps on blessing, blessing me. He keeps right on blessing me. Oh, I know I don't deserve all the good things that He's done.
But He keeps on.
He keeps right on. He keeps right on blessing me. He keeps on blessing, blessing me. He keeps right on blessing me.
No,
I don't deserve all the good things that He's done.
But He keeps on.
He keeps right on blessing me. He keeps on blessing me. He keeps right on blessing me. I know I don't deserve all the good things that he's done.
But he keeps on.
He keeps right on. He keeps right on blessing me. He keeps on blessing me. He keeps right on blessing me. I know I don't deserve all the good things that he's done.
But he
keeps on.
He keeps right on. He keeps right on blessing
me. He keeps right on blessing me. Oh, he keeps right on blessing me. I know I don't deserve all the good things that he's done.
He keeps right on.
He keeps right on. He keeps right on blessing me. Oh, let's love the Lord together. I love you, Jesus. You are a mighty God. I bless you. I worship you. I adore you. Lord, you're my everything. Without you, I am nothing. You are our great God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to go to the book of John chapter 4, and I'm going to read a portion of a very familiar setting of scriptures that we have all heard preach about. Usually we talk about Jesus going into Samaria, went to a well in Sychar, and there he met a woman of Samaria. And there was quite a lengthy conversation. And I want to touch on just a portion of that conversation that Jesus had with an unnamed individual. We're going to be going, it looks like everyone has found the book of John chapter 4. I want to start reading in verse number 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord if he would speak to our hearts here tonight. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence that we can feel here right now. We ask you, Lord, that you would minister to each and every one of our hearts. Allow us, Lord, to understand the word. Help us, Lord God, that we would allow your word to penetrate our minds and let it delve into our hearts. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would touch us and give us, Lord God, a greater understanding of the word and the deep things of God. We ask in the precious name of Jesus, and we say it all in Jesus' name. You may be seated.
Tonight I am going to continue teaching on the subject, the whys and wonders of worship. My title tonight will be a demonstration of God's worthiness. A demonstration of God's worthiness. She lived on a dead-end street. Now, I don't mean one of those nice cul-de-sacs, dead-end streets where kids can play in safety. But I mean a dead-end, like the end of the line, like nowhere, like no hope, end of a street. She had been married and divorced 5 times. She was living with the man she hadn't even bothered to get married to. Whatever the reasons, her fault or not, this is the story of a tragic life. But this is also a great story, one that can show us the power of God. This is the longest conversation that was ever recorded of Jesus in a one-on-one with an individual. And he said some tremendous, life-changing, deep, profound things to just one individual. That individual was a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews did not ordinarily speak to one another. And she was a woman. And Jewish men did not speak to women they did not know. But Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman on her dead-end street. And something like joy was kindled down deep in her heart. Something like hope began to bubble up. Faith was born. She had met the Messiah, and her life was going to be changed forever. And so, according to the story, was an entire village. But just for now, I want to lift out a little comment in this story that Jesus made to this lady within our scriptures. When it seemed as though she was dodging the line of questioning that he had started, after asking for a drink of water and then telling her that he had living water, Jesus told her to go call her husband. When she said she didn't have a husband, Jesus said, "That's the truth. You don't have one, but you have had 5. And the one you're living with now isn't even your husband." So our dead-end street lady said, sort of out of the blue, she asked, "What is the proper way to worship? We Samaritans worship under these mountain peaks. You Jews say we need to come to Jerusalem. Who is right?" And Jesus surprises her with his answer. He said, "Well, there are 3 ways to worship. 3 ways that sincere people try to connect with the Almighty God." Jesus said, "You Samaritans worship what you do not understand." That's one. Remember, I said there are 3 ways to worship. Number one, Jesus said, "You as Samaritans worship what you do not understand." He said, "We Jews worship what we do know. We have the Torah. We have the Psalms of David. We have the prophets God has given us scripture, informed worship. We know what we worship. That was number two. But then Jesus went on to add, there is a third and a better way for us all to come to God. The time is coming. And as a matter of fact, it has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, the third form of worship. So there are three ways to worship. This lesson tonight isn't in the Bible. Just to read as a history text. But Jesus outlines how people worship God to this very day. This is going to be deep, and this is going to be profound. But you know, you can begin to understand it. To this day, there is uninformed and ignorant worship. Good, sincere, even sacrificing people who do religious things, and if you ask them why, they can't even give a good answer. My mother always did it this way. All good apostolics have always done it this way. To this day, there is informed, intelligent worship based on Bible revelations. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Do you not know that the good book says, thou shalt and thou shalt not? About this time is when I want someone's phone to ring. Hello? Believe me, this is miles better than no reason at all. Why do you worship? Pastor makes us. I don't know. It's just what I think I'm supposed to do. Why do you worship? If people only lived the book, the Bible, we could save a lot of money on jails, store security guards. Think about it. If people would just live the Bible. But God is still looking for a higher form of worship. Now, I know I'm putting a lot of words, but we'll get there and you'll get a clear picture of some of these statements that I am stating here tonight. There's God. Everyone say God. God is looking for worship. But not just any kind of worship. There are some worship God does not accept. And there is worship that he just loves. Now, I'm not talking about a worship style. Hey, there's individuals that how they worship, there's no way I couldn't do it. I admired Elder Preston out in his cowboy boots, his knees almost hitting him in the chest. I can't do that. But boy, he could. He could. I can't run these aisles like Brother Marin does. But I've noticed he's kind of slowing down. I can't high step like Brother Carrillo. I can't. So this is not referencing a style of worship. It's not high church versus low church. It's not contemporary worship versus traditional worship. That's not it at all. To this day, God is looking for vital spiritual worship that comes from a living, breathing relationship. Now, this is hard to describe, but something like, well, you know, God spoke to me. Really? Yes. He told me I was lost, but that he loved me. He forgave my sins. He walks with me day by day. I love God. I honestly believe he loves even me. Right now. Now I am referencing that as a third person. I hope we gather that. I believe that most of us here today kind of lean towards those thoughts. Does anybody need waking up? Some of you out there saying, surely he wouldn't do that. I don't want to waste it. But that's really how we all think. I was lost in sin. And he willingly put loving arms around me and loved me into the church. And I don't think anyone here tonight is going to be saying it, I think he loves me. But I believe all of us would say, I know he loves me. And these are thoughts that go through all of our minds. But remember, there are three ways to worship. How do you worship? Would you believe that in every church to this very day, there are all three ways represented among us? My question, are there ignorant worshipers here? Now, ignorant doesn't mean stupid. Hello? I know the first man you use that word ignorant, the first thing, oh, you're calling me dumb. No. Go look up the word ignorant. That doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't know. It's unknowing. And there are many, possibly among us right now, that you're unknowing to the fashion, form, and part of worship that biblically it speaks of that's needed. We think it's all in the run. We think it's all in the hoop and the holler and the jumping up and down. That's not where it's at. What about the children among us? I look at these five boys. I have to include Michael because he's sitting between them just about their size. And these girls. And I could probably be pretty safe if I was to ask them why do they worship, they'll be like a deer in a headlight. Because they don't know. I don't want to ask them at that age. But boy, we get to having church and they want to run. They want to leap. But they could not express and explain to me why. They don't know, but they sure feel it feels good. It just seems like that's the thing to do. Am I going to stop it? Not on your life. Because the older they get, I want them to understand that type of worship. They're not worshiping men. They're worshiping God. So I asked, are there ignorant worshipers here? But are there intelligent worshipers here that are informed by the book? That is the way I was raised. It isn't bad, it isn't good. But informed needs to move on to spiritual. Or it can and will become legalistic. And how I get to that point is when these kids get to be about 20 and 24 and 25 and you ask them, why do you worship? My mom makes me. If I go home and I didn't worship, I get it. That's legalistic. But when they learn the reason that I worship like I worship, it opens up a whole new world in our spiritual being. Some of the meanest, nastiest people you'll ever meet know the scriptures inside and out and can beat you to death with those scriptures if you don't watch out. May even seem to be intelligent within the scriptures. But my question is, they can know all the scriptures and not even be spiritual. And don't even live it. But they know it. So my third question is, are there spiritual worshipers here? I hope so. People who let God into every nook and cranny of their life. People who actually pray between Sundays. But how about you? How about your neighbor? I'm thinking there can be a little of all three ways in you all at once. Ignorant worship, intelligent worship, and spiritual worship. And I'm not going to delve into that in regards to how all three can be in us at once. We may do some religious things for no other reason than it's always been done that way. And it feels good. And religious when we do it. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means I do it because it's just how my mentors showed me how to worship. How many of you knew before you came to church that by clapping your hands, you were worshiping God? How many knew that before you came to a church? Before you came to church. Okay. How many of you knew that leaping up and down before you came to church was a form of worship? How many of you knew running the aisles was a form of worship? How many knew rolling on the floor could be a form of worship? You see, there's a lot of things we never knew. But boy, we sure knew how to dance on a dance hall. We sure knew how to holler at a football game. Hello. So I think you understand what I'm saying. And so worship. It is in man. And I use that terminology again, not in a gender form, but in God's creation. There is worship in us. Some people worship their hobbies. Some even worship their jobs. There is a worship in all of us. My worship is not to impress you or anybody else. But my worship is to demonstrate God's worthiness to me. This broken woman, shunned and ostracized by society, finds someone who knows everything about her and yet is willing, in spite of what the world would think of him, Jesus, he talks to her. And then she clings to the hope that he gives her, like a drowning person that clings to a life raft. Jesus wakes up something she thought was dead. I don't care who you are or what you have done. God loves you. You can't go back and undo what you have done. And you cannot go back and live life over again. But every morning, you need to wake up and recognize it marks a new beginning and a new opportunity. That son and that daughter, that wayward grandchild, God can still reach them. God can still win their heart and turn them around. The Bible tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord awakened something in the heart of this woman that others had given up on. He even woke up something in her heart in regards to this woman even giving up on herself. That's hitting home. And she asked Jesus a question. Where are we supposed to worship? You see, the hub of the problem right here, the core issue right here, is worship. Essentially then, worship is giving. It is giving honor and respect to God. And that is why we gather here. We don't gather here to give respect to a pastor or to a preacher. Now, it's fine that we should hold up one another in respect. But we are here to worship God. And though all of that occurs, respect, worship, there is to be the stimulating of that desire in our hearts to honor God. If we get that revelation of why I walk through those doors when it's church time, we won't come in when it's prayer time and just sit on the pew. We won't come in and just, when it's worship time, just look around and not open up our mouths and sing. But when we get a revelation of what God has done in our lives, it causes us to worship, to sing, to respond to the preaching of the word, because I know what God done for me. you come for what you can get, or if you come, quote, get a blessing, you miss the purpose. You have to come to give, not get. And worship is a consuming desire to give to God. Is all worship acceptable? I see some saying yes. I see some saying no. Is all worship acceptable? No. The scripture tells us that the Father is seeking true worshipers. The worship that God accepts. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, it reads, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By this, he was approved, Abel, as a righteous man, because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through this. The story I read and is told about a man who lay on his deathbed with his family and his friends all gathered around him. And as he lay there, he asked a friend to check and see if there was anything in his pockets. The friend checked and found the man had a dime in one pocket. The dying man asked him to place that dime in his mouth. He swallowed the dime and said, I came into the world with nothing, and I don't want to leave anything behind. A foolish man. We all leave things behind. Even according to this verse of Abel and Cain, Abel leaves behind, even though he is dead, many centuries later, he leaves a testimony. I believe it is a testimony of what true worship looks like. Abel still speaks to us today. He still gives a testimony. He still tells us about the worship that God only accepts. Now, I want to look for a moment at the similarities between these two men. They had the same parents. Their upbringing was the same. They had the same experiences as children. Picnics at the gate to the Garden of Eden, where they would see the seraphim with a flaming sword and would ask Mom and Dad what it meant. They both heard the explanation. Pets, puppies in the backyard, chores, a bit of ground to tend. Each had some chore. I'm trying to show you the similarities in these two young men. Mom and Dad had given them chores to do. They did these chores with respect to Mom and Dad. They were taught respect. They had the same work ethics. They both had jobs. Now, picture Cain working hard out in the field, coming home at the end of a day, telling his parents about his day's events. Then Abel, he worked hard. And he would come home with a healthy glow on his face for the work of the day he had completed. And he also came home with the smell of the animals upon him. It was a certain aroma that identified his work at the end of the day. The similarities of these two men. They had the same God. Both of them knew there was a God. Both of them knew God. Neither of them were an atheist. Their parents had told them about their time in the garden. They had told them about the mistakes they had made. And I am sure Adam told his boys about the time their mother ate them out of house and home. You'll get it in a minute. But when God spoke to Cain and told him he was not pleased, Cain wasn't at all surprised by God's visit. His voice, nor the conversation, because eventually these things happened before. They had the same God. And they both offered sacrifices. They didn't know God from a distance. They knew him very closely. They both came and offered sacrifices. They both offered something that cost them. It cost them the work of the sweat of their brow to bring offerings to God. As a matter of fact, if the order of the account is any indication, it appears that Cain perhaps took the lead in bringing a sacrifice. They were very similar in a number of different ways, but they and their offerings were received by God differently. The difference between acceptable and unacceptable worship is seen how Cain and Abel approached God with their worship. Unacceptable worship approaches God on the wrong path. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We don't know when or how, but at some time in the past, God had made known to Cain and Abel what was acceptable in the way of sacrifice and in the way of offerings. There was nothing wrong with bringing an offering of the produce that Cain had grown to God. We often see that in the Old Testament, men often brought gifts of oil, meal, grain, fruit to God. As first fruit offerings and thanksgiving offerings, nothing was wrong with it. But those types of offerings came after a blood sacrifice. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, the blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Folks will try many different things to get to God. They try many different paths. Some try sacrifice. Some try hard work. Some try the way of the hermit or the monk. Some try good works, trying to earn their way into heaven. Look at Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The prophets were sincere, but they were on the wrong path. People try to get to God through good works, obeying the Ten Commandments, following the golden rule, but God speaks through Paul in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and he said, "Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God." Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Unacceptable worship approaches God with the wrong attitude. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, Cain brought some of the produce of the land. Abel brought the first of his flock, the first fruit, the blood. Can you imagine the thoughts that must have gone through their mind? Cain said, "God can have the leftovers. He should be pleased with what I bring." Abel's thoughts may have been, "I will bring to God the first of what I have." But then Cain's thoughts would go back to, "Anything ought to be good enough." But Abel's thoughts, "Nothing is good enough." I have had people tell me that they can worship God just as well fishing alone with nature as they can in the church house. My thought, hogwash. When you go fishing, you're not going to worship God. You may talk to Him while you're there. You may talk with God when you're hiking or riding a horse or whatever. And I hope that you would. But you don't worship Him at such places. Now, you've remember I said everybody has worship in them. I know Brother John, if he caught the big one, he'd be dancing all over the place. Hello? Think about it. Cain's heart says, "God just needs to accept what I give him." Abel's attitude, the accepted attitude for worship, is that I will give God my best. He is important enough that I will set aside time for him and his word. He is important to me, and I will make him and his worship my priority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added and provided for you." Unacceptable worship leaves you unchanged. Cain wasn't changed for the better. He wasn't closer to God. He was just going through the motions, putting in his time, hoping to appease God and get some blessings coming his way. Several years ago, I encountered a situation that really kind of surprised me. I had an individual worshiping God, but then I was told that they weren't worshiping God, but they were mocking worship. And so I asked the individual, I says, is it true? You know, of course, their response, what's true? I said, you're running the aisle is to mock worship, and it's not genuine worship. And they looked down, and they said, I'm sorry. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. And they're not in the church today. Worship needs to be taken seriously. Not a game. It's an offering that we are giving to God. When God pointed out the error of Cain, Cain didn't try to change. He didn't even want to change. He just got mad, like this other individual. How dare you tell me my worship is not good enough? This is Cain's attitude. How dare you tell me my form of religion isn't as good as yours? How dare you tell me what I am doing is wrong? How dare you try to lay your rules and your regulations on me? He got mad and did nothing to change what God had pointed out in his life. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. It isn't enough to merely give head assent. You know what I mean? That you believe. You cannot have him as your Lord and Savior and leave unchanged. Obedience does not bring faith, but faith will always bring obedience and the desire to live righteously. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven may enter. Many of you will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name did not we cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. So we've established tonight the fact that God is looking for true worshipers. And you could be what he's looking for. We also see that the key is less of me. So if God is looking for worshipers, and you and I could be what he's looking for, then we will have to admit that worship must be expressed. My title, A Demonstration of God's Worthiness. God is looking for worshipers, and the church is looking for workers. The problem is not worship. The problem is the object of worship. That's our battle today, the target of worship. I think all of us can identify. We have a hard day. We get upset at work. We get mad at our spouse before church. Our kids drive us crazy. And we come into the house of God and do nothing. Your object is wrong. your outcome is going to be wrong. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because he diverted praise, adoring and magnifying God from God to himself. When we walk through those doors and do nothing, what we are supposed to be given to God, we're giving it to ourselves. You say, well, how? Your attitude. So Lucifer became a god unto himself. But God will not share his glory with another. So Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. And then God starts a human race on the planet Earth. Worship is no more or less than an adoration and a love towards deity. It is a love that you express in a multiplicity ways. But if it is true love and adoration, it cannot stay unexpressed. When's the last time, I'm talking to all you boys on this front row. When was the last time you told your mother you loved her? This morning? Joshua said this morning? He's trying to convince you. The other day? Today? This morning? Don't remember? Don't worry, young men. I'm not done yet. If a man tells his wife he loves her, now all you ladies out there saying, get him, Pastor, get him. And all the men are deers in headlights. Oh, no. But he never hugs or kisses her or buys her things or makes loving gestures. All you ladies are going to love me because you're going to go home and your husband's going to show you affection. Hello? Well, I hope. Now, if those things are never done, then that lady is not very likely to believe the guy loves her like he says. You all heard the story of the man that his wife asked him, why don't you tell me you love me? He said, well, 34 years ago, when I said I do, I said I loved you. And that ought to be good enough. That's ignorant. And that is defined as stupid. Love must be expressed. If love is not expressed, it stagnates. It dies. It becomes corrupted. Becomes less than pure love. Now everyone say, it's time for a shout. Did you praise God tonight? Did you praise him with the hand clap? Did you praise him in the dance? Did you praise him in your singing? Did you up here on the platform use your talents in musical instruments to give God praise? Are you worshiping a feeling or a fact? We need fuller comprehension of this subject so we can be more comfortable because knowledge is power. There is no sense in dancing, shouting, or clapping our hands if we don't know why we do it. It is only because of a feeling. God is trying to take us beyond the feeling to the fact. Have you ever been in a praise service where the singing starts and the feeling gets you and you just don't want to leave? Do you know what you're doing? You're enjoying what's happening. But if you're not careful, you'll start worshiping your worship. You'll start praising your praise. You'll substitute a nice feeling for the true focus of God. You'd better make sure that the centerpiece of your worship is correct. If the object isn't factual, God will reject it. Every effort at worship is not God acceptable worship. Cain was rejected because God would not accept a bloodless worship. Cain's attitude, he would not accept. When Jesus said the Samaritan woman that salvation is of the Jews, he was saying that the Samaritans were a rival religion with a mixture of truth, feelings, and human ideas. They had in the eyes of God a man-made religion that was unacceptable. The Jews had a religion that originated in and from God, exalting and magnifying the holiness of God. It showed the necessity of a substitute blood sacrifice that the Samaritans could not fathom. And such is it today in many denominational churches. The worldly does not understand the worship of the church. They think our worship is foolish. But I feel the worship of the world is amongst their gods foolish. It is the sacrifice that leads to forgiveness, atonement, and restoration. Salvation has always been by divine grace, not by human merit. And grace is offered to the sinner on the grounds of a sacrificial atonement, repentance. Thus, through the Jews, God established once and for all his divine right to show the method of how we approach him. God gave them sacrifices, rituals, temple rites, and circumcision. And he said salvation is of the Jews. Here is why. They know the object of their worship, the one true living God. And number two, they have the approach to God that will be accepted. Everything else is rejected. That is why Ruth followed Naomi and would not leave her. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Ruth left behind her heathen Moabite worship for true worship. Salvation is of the Jews because acceptable worship only has God as the target. God didn't nullify the promises he made to Israel because of their often backslidden state, but he fulfilled them, those promises, in Jesus Christ through man's repentance and man's baptism of remission of sins and by Holy Ghost infilling. The veil was rent open for all now to approach. The final sacrifice was offered, and the old priesthood ended as a new priesthood began. I want you to know, you got to have the right focus on your worship. You are not worshiping tradition, but you are worshiping a God that was willing to come and robe himself in flesh and die on a cross for all of your sins. Can I help somebody? If it hadn't been for Calvary, not one of us would have an opportunity of salvation. But because God died and rose again, he gave to us his Spirit that gives us life, and that life more abundant. When you know who you're worshiping, and when you understand why you worship, it'll cause you to get out in the aisle and start dancing before the Lord. If it hadn't been for the Lord, where would I be? If it hadn't been for his goodness, where would I be? I don't get out in the aisles and run just to run, but there is a focus on why I'm running. There is an understanding of why I'm giving him my highest praise. Because he gave his best, I in return gonna give him my best. According to the New Testament, every born again believer is now a spiritual priest of their own home. And the duty of every priest is to offer sacrifices unto God. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 says that the sacrifices we offer are spiritually expressed. Even the sacrifice of our lips praising God by Christ Jesus. The temples of our bodies supersede the tabernacle of Israel. For God incarnate in the man Jesus said unto the Samaritan woman, the time is coming and now is when it will not be a location for worship. You will neither worship in this mountain nor in the temple at Jerusalem. You will now worship in spirit and in truth. Your body is the temple of God. We worship him in spirit because we are Holy Ghost filled. We worship him in truth because we know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We know who we worship. We understand who we worship. Does anybody have a demonstration? Of God's worthiness. Is he worthy of your worship? Is he worthy of your praise? Is he worthy of your adoration? Is he worthy of your hands being lifted? Is he worthy of opening up your lips and speaking out with your voice and letting him know how wonderful, how glorious, how loving that he is? We serve a good God. We serve a great God. Oh, going to praise him tonight? Or are you going to withhold your praise? Has the Lord been good to you? Praise him. He'll find somebody else to praise him. of praise. Oh, come on. Some of you are just talking in the aisle. Some of you are just talking and looking around. I think God deserves a worship. I think God deserves your adoration. I believe God deserves, amen, your high praise.